In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Very Reverend Father, Reverend Fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
So we just have a little more than a week left before Lent starts. And this, the second to last Sunday before Lent, has two names. It's known by two different names. The unofficial one is Meat Fair. And the other is the Sunday of the Last Judgment. Now, one of these sounds kind of fun, and the other one's a little frightening. You know, it's interesting. In the Orthodox Church, we always we have a lot of preparation. You know, not only do we prepare for Pascha through Holy Week, we prepare for Holy Week through Lent. But not only do we prepare for Holy Week through Lent, we prepare for Lent through the preparatory Sundays and weeks that come before. And even before Lent officially starts, we prepare for that by fasting from meat for a week before Lent officially starts. In the West, they make it a little more simple. They just kind of have, I mean, they have Holy Week and they have Lent, but they also have they don't have the week without meat. And so you might know Meat Fair by a different name in the West. It's Fat Tuesday. Fat Tuesday is Meat Fair and Cheese Fair all kind of put together in one. It's the day before Ash Wednesday. And so in a sense, that's what we celebrate these next 2 weeks. And in ancient times, it was because they didn't have freezers. They didn't have ways to keep food for a long period of time. So they had to use up all the meats and all the cheese, and so the villages would come together and everyone would bring their meats this week and their dairy next week for it to all be used up in one great feast before they started the fast. Well, these days it's really easy. You take the sausages you didn't use and you put them in the freezer and you move on. But so that's what we refer to as Meat Fair. The other title, as I said, is The Last Judgment. And this is something that, you know, I don't know if you noticed the icon. I believe this is the first year we've ever had that icon out because that kiat, the box with all those icons in it, is relatively new. But it's not a fun icon to look at. It's not something that should fill you with joy and go, oh yes, this is great. But here's the interesting thing about this. This is really the only, well, it is the only parable we have about the Last Judgment. It's the only teaching we have about the Last Judgment. And we have a tendency to think of our salvation in certain ways and to kind of ignore the fact that we will stand before judgment. We'll actually stand before two judgments. We'll have our particular judgment, which is when we die. So if we pass away before Christ returns, each person has kind of their particular judgment. And then there's the final judgment of all the earth. And so in this parable that the Lord tells, in this teaching that the Lord gives, there's a couple really, really important things about it. First of all, is the way he describes that which was prepared for the sheep and the goats. If you notice, when he talks about the sheep, those who are being saved, he says, "Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And then he goes on with the, "For I was hungry and you gave me food," and all of that. But then when he turns to the goats, notice he says to the sheep, he says, "The kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world." But when he turns to the goats, he says, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." So in other words, eternity, eternal life with Christ and with God is what was prepared for us, his creatures. The eternal fire, that was not prepared for us. That was what the devils and the angels chose. And in a sense, that's what it is. When we talk of heaven and hell in the Orthodox Church, we don't talk of two different places. It's not like there's two different zip codes for those in eternity. We all are in the presence of God. And the question is, how do we respond to being in that presence of God? If we love him and we love others and we seek him, then it'll be a blessing. It'll be like the sun coming out after, I don't know, months of rain, just to use an example. But if we've rejected him, and if we've rejected that love that he's given us, and that love that he's wanted us to have for others, then it's like a hot sun in the desert. It's, you know, it, that love of his, in a sense, condemns us. I mentioned this last night. It's kind of like when you come home late as a teenager, or if you've done this as a parent, and your mom or dad are waiting up for you, and you come in, and it's their great love for you that kept them waiting up. But that great love to you feels like shame, because, you know, then they give that classic line, I'm not even angry, I'm just disappointed, you know, it's because I care about you. And that's what it is, that great love for God, if we reject it, can be like a burning fire. So what is the difference? What's the difference between the sheep and the goats? Well, the interesting thing is the teaching that Christ gives right before this one is the parable of the talents, where a master goes away and he gives to one servant five, and to one two, and to another one. And then each of them, the one with five and the one with two, they trade their talents, they use them, and they get more. And the final one just buries it in the ground. Well, St. Gregory the Great has an amazing take on this. He points out that the talents that are given to them is not just what we generally think of. We generally think of the gifts that are given to us. We think of the skills that we can then give back to those around us, or we think of the money that's given to us that we can give to the poor and the needy. But he says it's actually the love that is given. That the five talents and the two talents given to the servants is love. And what they did is they took that love and they spread it around. And the one servant who was given one talent did not do that. He was given great love by God. And that also points to what this verse is about. This verse isn't about fasting well. It's not about keeping your prayer rule perfectly. It's not about attending every single service of the church. All of these things are great gifts. We need to view all these things as great gifts, not as obligations that we have to check them off, but instead as great gifts for us. But ultimately, they're not the end. They're a means to the end, and the end is Christ. And how are we united to Christ? Only by his love. Because his two commandments are love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So we read these, and we might see these as a checklist. I almost said fed the naked. Have I fed the naked? Have I clothed the hungry? You know what I mean. Have I fed the hungry? Have I clothed the naked? Have I visited those in prison? These are wonderful things to do, and please, please do these things. But ultimately, it's about love, and it's about loving the person next to you. If you look at the person next to you, that person next to you is sick and in prison and hungry and thirsty. We all are. We all are unhealthy. We all are sick. We all are in prison because of our sin and our brokenness and the brokenness of the world that so brings us down. And so that is what this is about. This verse about the last judgment, it should strike a little fear in us. We should say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And it should bring us to our knees in repentance. But it should spur us on. It should spur us on because we know that he shared this verse with us, not out of judgment, not out of wanting us to be goats, but out of wanting us to be sheep, to be those who follow him humbly and meekly and who share that love that he has given to us with those around us. And you know where it starts? It starts with the person that's sitting to the left and to the right of you in these pews. You know, we need to reach out. We need to be a light to the world. But if we can't reach out first and foremost to those in our families and those in our parish and those that we already know, how will we ever reach the world with this great love that God has given us? And so now we have an opportunity once again to begin again. That's one of the great things, is that we always have these opportunities to begin again. And as we begin Lent, this is our opportunity to love those next to us and to love the Lord our God and to seek our repentance and to seek our union with Christ to his glory and that of the Father and the All Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.